argument, United States versus Rankins. Mr. Rosenberg.
May it please the court, my name is Seth Rosenberg and I'm here on behalf of the defendant, Michael Rankins. This matter is before you on two issues. The first issue concerns Mr. Rankins' possession of a firearm and whether the district court erred in denying his motions for judgment of acquittal for possessing a firearm as a felon and possessing and carrying a firearm in connection with a drug trafficking crime. The second issue is whether the district court erred in denying his suppression motion where the totality of the circumstances did not support the stop and arrest of Mr. Rankins. I'd like to address the gun issue first. It is our position that it was impossible for Mr. Rankins to possess the gun. The government's theory...
How could Rankins have blurted out, I suppose you're going to pin that gun on me also then, to get right to the heart of it?
Well, the gun was pulled out by Officer Castronovo. And
but
Officer
the sock was pulled out with
yes.
The gun in the sock,
and
I understand the fact.
Officer Castronovo testified that he could see it was the outline of a gun on the sock. So if it was plain to Officer Castronovo that he could see the outline of the gun, I don't know that it would be difficult for Mr. Rankins to see that it was a gun also.
So what about the other evidence that the officer had done a careful check of his vehicle before he left for the morning, and then, you know, you put Mr. Rankins in there and suddenly there's a gun?
Well, that is the only piece of evidence that the government offers to even support its claim.
What's wrong with it? It's a piece of evidence.
Well, the evidence on the other side is that Mr. Rankins was searched by the officer before he was placed in the car. He was searched by the officer who suspected that he had a gun, searched his waistband up and down the legs, and didn't find a gun. There was also a leg sweep takedown where they slammed Mr. Rankins to the ground, but the gun, which they claim is in his crotch or buttocks area, isn't dislodged.
It's not that big a gun, though, right? It's not like he's saying, you know, I'm concealing an AK-47 in my crotch or something.
Well, no, it was not an AK-47, but...
No, it was a little. It was about 5 inches, right?
Yeah, 5 inches, but still, I don't understand where it could have been on his crotch or buttocks area and not somehow come loose when he was slammed to the ground, or how the officer couldn't have come about it when he's searching the waistband and up and down the legs, and in fact, the officer finds... you know, a small baggie containing drugs. How does he not find this heavy piece of metal? I grant you it's not a giant gun, but it's something that an officer who's trained to do a search would certainly feel. And then another piece of evidence on that issue is that Mr. Rankins had his hands cuffed behind his back while he was placed in the police car. And I just don't yet understand how, if the gun were in his crotch or buttocks, how he could have gotten the gun outside from that area and onto the floor in front of him. Now,
well, it does happen, as you're aware, that sometimes even people handcuffed behind their back are able to use a weapon.
Well, in this small space of this car, in just a few moments, to be able to somehow maneuver, and the government has not suggested really how that's possible, because I don't really know how he could have done it given the car that he was in the short amount of time. So when you line up all of that, and then on the other side, all you have is Officer Castronovo's testimony that he did a search before his shift. I mean, you have all of these factors on one side, all that logic.
But this is a fact issue for the district court, isn't it? I understand.
Well, given the leg sweep, the search, the impossible maneuvering, it just doesn't seem at all like any rational juror could find that he possessed the gun. Another fact... Mr. Rankins claims that his handcuffs are too tight, and the officer comes over, and that's when he first views the sock. Then he walks back to discuss it with his sergeant, and they come back, and then they claim he's pushed it underneath. Mr. Rankins had summoned them to loosen the handcuffs. Mr. Rankins wouldn't have summoned them over to loosen the handcuffs while he's
these
got the gun.
These are like arguments you address to a trier of fact rather than an appellate court.
Well, what we're saying here is that the government hasn't really set forth any evidence that could support the jury's finding. They haven't explained how it didn't...
Well, there's certainly some evidence. You just think the evidence is weak.
Well, side by side, it really isn't a comparison. The government can't explain how it wasn't jarred loose. how Officer Castronovo missed it.
The only other possibility, I suppose, you think the government planted the gun.
I'm not suggesting it was planted. I'm suggesting...
Where did it come from?
It could have been left there before an officer...
By whom?
By anyone who was in the car beforehand, and that Officer Castronovo made...
But you'd make the same argument about that person. How could anyone leave a gun in the police car without the police knowing it?
All I'm suggesting is that Officer Castronovo said he looked at his car.
Is, of course, some evidence. Where does it say that he was... Are you just assuming that he was handcuffed with his hands behind his back?
Well, I know that when they, after they executed a leg sweep takedown, they put his arm behind his back and cuffed him.
No one mentions in the brief that that's where his hands were, but...
I know in our section I spend a significant amount of time on how I thought it was literally physically impossible for him with his hands cuffed to get it out of that area.
The problem is there have been killings and woundings of police officers with defendants placed in the back of a car with their handcuffs, and they've come by a weapon. I mean, we've had those cases. They're actually reported cases. It can be done. I agree with you. It seems very extremely impossible, but it can be done.
Well, I especially think, given the facts that happened before, and given that he was slammed to the ground, and given that the officer who suspects that that Mr. Rankins is dangerous, and he's looking him up and down. I mean, his own life is on the line. He's searching him because he's explicitly looking for a gun. How he would not,
But what you don't seem to appreciate is that when you have a situation where it seems improbable that something happened in a particular way, you have to compare that with the alternative and see if the alternative is significantly more probable. You don't have any alternative theory as to how that gun got there.
Well,
that's more plausible than the government's theory.
Well, what the government needs to prove is that he possessed it, and their theory.
No, look. You have to have the way people make decisions. They compare the alternative stories. Government has a theory. The defendant has a theory. The jury or the judge or whoever decides which is more plausible. But you haven't suggested any alternative story that would be more plausible than the government.
I think the theory that the gun was left there. Now,
by whom and in what circumstances?
I don't.
Of course, you don't know because it's highly improbable. It's just as improbable that the gun was left there by some previous criminal as it is that it was left there by Rankins.
Well, I don't believe that is the case.
What is your story as to a more plausible explanation for how the gun its way into the police car?
I can't give you, the suspect that was in the car previous to that or what officer was using that car. All I can tell you is that it was there before.
Well,
and
that's not good enough. Where did it come from? Did it fall out of the sky?
Somebody carried it in there.
Somebody just like Rankins, right?
Some suspect.
Just like Rankins.
Well,
so what makes you think is that some other suspect is more likely to have left the gun there than Rankins?
I don't think that it's at all likely that Rankins left the gun there.
So why is it likely that some previous person left the gun there?
Because that previous person wasn't tackled to the ground, wasn't searched, so an officer...
Wasn't searched? What, you mean they'd stick a person with a gun in the back of a car without not searching him?
Well, they may do a more casual search. This search...
Why would they do a more casual search of someone else who they were locking in the police car?
Well, I know that in this case, Officer Castronovo was explicitly concerned that the suspect might have a gun. So he was doing his best, and I think that is different than a typical case where maybe there's just a pat-down, and they're certainly not, with the leg...
I don't think the police like to put someone in the back of a police car who might be armed.
Well...
That's extremely dangerous.
The government conceded that he didn't even search the Rankin's crotch or buttocks area. That's how their theory comes to be.
So he didn't search the crotch of the previous person.
And that's how the gun came to be there already. I mean, that could be the story. We don't have...
Well, but why is that? Why is it more plausible that some previous arrestee had a gun in his crotch than that Rankin's did?
I think it is improbable that Rankin's had the gun because of what I...
Why is it probable that some predecessor of his has the gun?
Because he didn't because these facts that happened to Rankins didn't happen to him.
How do you know what happened to his predecessor?
Well,
hypothetical predecessor arrestee.
Well, I'm giving you the story that is the defendant's story.
I don't think your story is any better than the government's story. In fact, your story is identical. There's a predecessor to Rankins, just like Rankins, had a gun in his crotch, wasn't searched carefully, dropped out, and was left in the police car. If that's plausible, then this then the government's theory of what happened is equally plausible.
Well, with Rankins, we know exactly what happened, and all of these events make it you know impossible for Rankins to possess the gun. And I see that you're saying, well, that could have happened to the previous person,
right.
But I think it's far more likely that this happened to Rankins and that it didn't happen to the previous person.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Rosenberg. Ms. Pecker?
Thank you.
May it please the court. The jury understood that the gun came from the defendant, Rankins. And let me review for the court briefly.
No, don't review the facts. You have something new to add that isn't in the brief or didn't come out in the discussion with Mr. Rosenberg?
There are a few comments that were in the record
okay,
that the defendant's statement. The defendant did state, I got caught with 50 rocks and a pistol. Do you think I give expletive deleted about 2 tickets? That's in the transcript at page 49. That was Officer Burke testifying. Officers Castronovo and Burke both described a conversation with the defendant where the defendant was trying to convince them to go to the state's attorney and say, we had no probable cause. Castronovo relayed this conversation as, quote, he was saying he needed either his dope or his pistol dropped so his bond could be lowered. Officer Burke, he said that he wanted us to, or he told us that he needed his bond lowered by either getting rid of...
It's not really as powerful as you suggest, because wherever the gun came from, he was being charged with its possession, so naturally he'd want to... That's what he was facing, and he'd like to get the gun charge dropped or the dope charge dropped and just have the 2 traffic tickets.
Your Honor, the statements are, however, that it was the defendant saying that it was his dope and his pistol to the officers, and that's evidence of his possession. In addition, the other evidence, such as the officer having thoroughly searched the car that morning.
No, we know about that.
Yes, Your Honor. Well, then I won't linger on that issue. And I will move then to the suppression issue, which I know the defendant didn't raise. Basically, I would just like to point out to the court that this stop was based on probable cause for a traffic violation. The defendant...
Do you think there's actually anyone in the United States who drives so scrupulously that they could not be stopped by the officers for what some people refer to as California stops at a stop sign or whatever?
Your Honor, it may well be, but in this case, the defendant definitely did commit a traffic infraction. And
no, I understand there's Wren and all the rest of it, but it seems to me that what the police did here is a pretty surefire way to stop somebody. You kind of target someone you want to stop, and you just follow them long enough for them to make a mistake of some type, you know, not signaling within 100 yards of an intersection or not coming to a complete stop in these days of automatic transmissions, a stop sign, or lots of things that... My casual observation of drivers on the road suggests are very common.
Your Honor, those are the traffic laws, and Wren does say that the police, if they have problems...
Did he slow down for the stop sign?
Your Honor, the testimony is that he rounded the corner at about 10 miles per hour.
10 miles per hour.
That's correct. So he did not stop for the stop sign.
He didn't stop, but he probably wasn't driving at 10 miles per hour. So I think in answer to Judge Posner's question, he did slow down.
I don't recall in the record what the testimony was, but I do recall
but
that
you would notice someone creeping along the road at 10 miles an hour.
Probably.
Didn't he say as soon as he had contact with the officers, you don't have probable cause?
That is correct. That was the defendant's theme throughout this.
Very unusual for a suspect to say that.
Yes, but it is in the record that this suspect had substantial criminal history and therefore probably was familiar with the concept of probable cause.
You're not required to I don't think, my recollection, I don't think you're required to make a full stop at a stop sign in Illinois.
Your Honor, I believe that the citation there would be the 625 ILCS 5/11-305, failure to obey a traffic control device, and the traffic control device
I think you're required to
stop.
Slow down, you know, I don't know, 2 or 3 miles an hour. I don't think you're required to Do you know?
Your Honor, I can only give the court my understanding of the statute, and that is that it's a crime to fail to obey a traffic control device. A stop sign is a traffic control device, and the stop sign very clearly.
Are you saying you don't know what the law is about stop signs?
Well, my reading of the statute, Your Honor, is that you must stop at a stop sign. I don't have the statute in front of me, but that's my recollection of it. And that is indeed what the sign says, the traffic control device itself.
No rolling stops.
No rolling stops, Your Honor. That's correct. Again, the search of the defendant then was a search incident to arrest, both for his subsequent fleeing to elude the police officers when Officer Burke saw the defendant roll through the stop sign. He then turned on his lights and sirens. Officer Castronova was approaching from the opposite direction and moved into the defendant's lane to stop him because the defendant did not appear to be stopping. The defendant swerved around the officer and continued, and that was fleeing to elude a police officer. At the point that the officers actually, when the defendant had stopped and they actually went to touch the defendant, he then began resisting, flailing his arms, wriggling, screaming of no probable cause. At this point, I'm thinking of the technical words. I think it's in essence obstructing a police officer. The officers had probable cause to search to stop the defendant, and there was sufficient evidence in the record to support the convictions on both firearm charges. If the court has no further questions, I'll conclude by requesting that the court affirm the defendant's conviction and sentence.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Pickren, and thank you, Mr. Rosenberg. And you were appointed, were you not? So we thank you for your representation. Next case.